So, we're clearly not out of the woods yet. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern joins us now. Good morning, Prime Minister.
Good morning.
On the issue of mask use, is there any consideration being given to extending that to beyond public transport to restaurants and bars?
No, not at this stage. And that's because we've got quite comprehensive precautions in place for hospitality. Of course, when we're at level two, there is that requirement that we have good spacing in a venue, that patrons are seated to try and reduce that intermingling, and a reduction in the likelihood of them being served by multiple people. And of course, keeping in mind that unlike buses or public transport, we do know through tracking and our use of the app and bookings through hospitality who are in different venues. And so that certainly helps in a way that on public transport.
The issue here is that we've been hearing from the likes of Nick Wilson, Professor Nick Wilson, Michael Baker consistently. For the last few months, they've been making recommendations. In July, they recommended the use of masks in the alert levels. They've been proven right, and the government has eventually followed their advice. Why wouldn't we follow their latest bit of advice now?
Because I do also seek the advice of our public health specialists within the Ministry of Health as well. Not everyone shares the same view on every single issue, and so there is some contestable view out there. On public transport, where even though, and nothing is a substitute, I think we should keep in mind, masks are not a substitute for physical distancing, and we've always had physical distancing built into our alert levels, but it's very clear to us that actually maintaining that physical distancing on buses and public transport is difficult. So that's why that extra layer of protection of those masks.
You mentioned yesterday that there could be a long tail to this current outbreak. Yeah. Can you be more specific about how long? We're talking weeks?
It will most likely be weeks. Of course, as I've said many times, modelling for clusters is quite hard, but we've simply looked at what has happened with our clusters in New Zealand in the past. You remember we had a cluster based around a wedding in Bluff. We had a conference in Queenstown. The longest tail we had off a cluster in New Zealand was roughly around the 12-13 week mark. This one, you know, should be a bit different in the way that it's obviously being managed. There's variables in all of them, but I do expect it will take us some time for us to see the end of it.
Right, so we could have community. So it's possible that the level drops in Auckland with community transmission still happening via that cluster?
With cases related to that cluster, yes. You'll see, and that's not a change in our strategy, though, Corinne, I think that's an important point to make. Level 2 does have provision in it for being in Level 2 when you have an active cluster. It's when you have cases outside of that cluster and you don't have control around that cluster that's really problematic. And so no one's suggesting for a moment that we would stay in Level 3 restrictions until we saw the tail end of it. And nor is anyone suggesting that in the future the only way to manage a COVID case is at Level 3.
That right, but just to be clear, so if come Sunday, mm-hmm. we could still have cases in that cluster. That doesn't preclude yep. moving down. But if we have another cluster, would you then have to extend the lockdown?
Again, if we have, you know, if we have outbreaks that we aren't able to link, if it's causing us enough concern, then of course we constantly look at our position. But at this stage, there's nothing to suggest that will be the case.
About numbers? So we saw 9 and 8s and these sort of numbers.
Yeah.
If you're getting those sorts of numbers, or even 10 and above, would that again preclude the ability to change down?
No, it wouldn't. Because keep in mind, this is our largest cluster. And so in a number of these days, when you're seeing 8 and 9, a large number of them often are family members of people who already have COVID or transmission from groups that we've already isolated because we know they've been exposed. And so that's of less concern than if you see cases that are just bubbling up and being found through community surveillance.
But how much risk is now, would there be to the rest of the country? If the borders are opened and there are still community transmission cases in Auckland, does that not increase the risk of an outbreak somewhere else in New Zealand?
I think that's one of the issues with just the word community transmission. It gives a sense of uncontrolled outbreak, When we have a cluster, of course, we know who has COVID. We know who's been in contact with those individuals. We use our systems to make sure those individuals are in isolation, tested, and we repeat that process. So it means that we've almost have a controlled situation. However, the reason that we've kept the rest of the country in level two is precautionary. We've had an approach in our alert level system where we have allowed regional travel at alert level two. And ultimately, having a border at a low alert level like two doesn't really work. So if you keep in mind, at the moment, we've got a perimeter around Auckland. If we lift their restrictions on Sunday as we intend, you either lift that border or you stop everyone who's leaving and you ask them whether or not they're leaving to go to a mass gathering in another part of the country.
It works in Victoria.
The postcode system didn't work because it didn't capture.
Well, they have border restrictions on states, and I just want to know: did you get advice on whether there was any increased risk to the rest of the country? Was that one of the factors?
We have thought about that. Yes, it is. We know from the cluster modelling that has been done, even though it's highly variable, there's an assumption that roughly in a 95% chance of a cluster, by the time it's discovered, likely having moved into another part of the country. And we have seen that in this case. We did see cases in Tokoroa. We did see travel into Rotorua. So that was for the cluster. Of course, we've got the perimeter around that now. What we're doing, though, keeping the rest of the country at alert level two, is continuing to be precautionary. Because when we open Auckland up, we know there'll be travel in and out. We just want to be careful.
How much has politics entered your decision-making here, and in terms of the economy and the political decisions, by trying to stay out of lockdown?
I've heard these suggestions around taking the politics out of decision-making. I think actually we have, as a country. The decisions that we've taken have been based on science and evidence and the view that the best best response for our economy is one that minimises health impacts. And I think that's proven to have been the case. I mean, even just last week, Senator and Paul's maintained New Zealand's AA+ credit rating because they said our quick response has basically helped us manage even the second outbreak. We are doing well compared to others, and that's been because of the approach we've taken.
But the elimination, you talk about the elimination approach, sorry to interrupt, but it has changed somewhat, hasn't it? Because if you were taking a true elimination approach, wouldn't you go back into level four, completely eliminate it, get the zero you're looking for, whereas you've told us it doesn't have to be zero now?
Oh, well, that's actually, I'm applying here the alert level framework we've always had, Corin. And we did have cases outside of alert level four. And so the idea that you would keep New Zealand at alert level four until you deal with the tail end of a cluster, I haven't heard widely suggested, even from those who...
Okay, but we're looking at 2 years, aren't we? Because the WHO says this could be 2 years before it's over. So what is the strategy for New Zealand from here? We just go back into lockdown if we have to, otherwise we have these tighter measures and we slowly get better at public measures such as masks.
Our strategy is as it's always been. Seek it out, stamp it out every time you see it. So it is an elimination strategy. What we, of course, also continue to aspire to is to do that with the lowest level of restrictions that we safely can. And I'll give you the example, Corin. That case that we had in Ridges of the maintenance worker, now, had that been the only case there that we were dealing with, where we identified a worker in a quarantine facility with COVID, all of their contacts were traced, they were all isolated, they were all tested. We did genome sequencing, worked out exactly where it came from, so we knew whether or not we had any missing links. That would have been an example where we wouldn't have even had to have moved Auckland or indeed New Zealand out of level one. So our goal is constantly to manage these things safely at the lowest alert level we can. This happens to be a very particular example of where, when we discovered it, it probably had been in circulation for a couple of weeks.
Can
so
you just,
we did need to take stronger measures.
Can you clarify on the wage subsidy? Grant Robertson indicated that there would be an extension to the wage subsidy if the lockdown was extended. Yet that hasn't actually happened, has it?
Yeah, so that was a reference to if we saw another transmission cycle, and those are the ways we tend to usually look at these things, are in blocks. So remember when we went in for a 3-day period at first. We said after that three-day period, if we go into an extended lockdown, we'll apply a wage subsidy. So for those first 3 days, we had nothing. Then when we decided we were going in for a longer period, we then put in a full two-week subsidy. And so that's what we've done. Of course, some people will, you know, in their minds apply that retrospectively. Regardless, it is a full two-week subsidy. And also, I think, Corinne, it's worth pointing out that this period of time can be used by businesses to make a calculation as to whether or not they now qualify for the wage.
Okay, I understand all that, but Grant Robertson is quoted. Grant Robertson is quoted as saying, "I've been upfront about the fact there were there to be an extension to the restrictions, we would also extend the wage subsidy scheme for a period if it was a brief continuation." Now, what you're saying is that for a business that has taken the 8 weeks, has taken the 2 weeks. They get no extension on that.
Corinne, just again, for those first 3 days, there were reps who came out and said, look, for the first 3 days, okay, but if it's longer. So we had those 3 days. We then made that decision to have a full, what ended up being an extra 10 or 12 days. We paid a full 14 days from there. And so we've tacked on a couple of extra days, depending on whether it's working a full working week, whether you consider it a Thursday and a Friday. We have considered that 2 weeks we need to use to cover. It is quite a complex thing. It's not a matter of just chucking on a couple of extra days. We already have businesses who have applied and we're already paying
okay,
out.
Okay, but you've got the money.
Corinne, keep in mind, every dollar we spend in that area is borrowed. And we take the burden of that decision making.
I understand, but there's been quite an underspend on the wage subsidy. You haven't used it all that you'd allocated, billions, in fact. And the $14 billion that had been put aside hasn't had to have been touched for this 2 week extension.
Two things on that. And again, we'll point out for the period we've been in, this is a full 2 weeks. But keep in mind, we have a large number of extra people. Roughly, I believe, since the 12th of August, about 19,000 businesses have applied for leave support and the wage subsidy extension. So they're getting the extra 8 weeks, not just two, eight. So we have, there is a wider group that will now be eligible for that. So that's more generous period of support. But I do think it's important to keep in mind that even that underspend, that is borrowed money. That is money that we need to also make sure we are very cautious in the way that we're dealing with this, because we also have to be...
I understand, but the businesses listening to this right now who are against the wall in Auckland, we're hearing more and more stories this morning of many going under. We saw a massive fall in retail sales of 15% in the last quarter. They need the government to spend that, don't they?
Which is why we have that wage subsidy extension, which is why we have the wage subsidy resurgence, which is why we have the leave payment, which is why we have the interest-free business loan scheme as well.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, thank you very much for your time.